And chapter 22, page 1107 in your Scofield Bible. Reading verses 31 and 32. We'll likewise read these verses in unison. I'm sorry, 1108, wasn't it? Okay, let's read together 31 and 32 of 22. Ready? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Turn now to John chapter 21, verse 3. This is page 1144 in your Scofield Bible. Just the one verse, the third verse of John 21. Let's read that together. Ready? Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. It's a wonderful day to get together as a church family. It's a wonderful day also to welcome into our presence these who visit. How good you are to us, to this church. And we are praying that thou wouldst bless this service. There's a lot that we have planned for, a lot to anticipate concerning this week. But help us to focus on this hour, help our minds and hearts to be ready to receive that which is preached. Thank you for our preacher. We pray that you'd give us an earnest desire to hear thy word, for faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd help me as I speak and this great crowd as they listen. And I pray that something real shall transpire in this hour. Give us thy spirit and thy spirit's power. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't usually do this at this time of the service, but I'm wondering about your comfort. Anybody too warm this morning? I have an idea we need to cut it down about 1 degree, Brother Randy. About 1 degree, if you would please, I think. And now, close your Bibles, put up your pens and your papers, and look at me very carefully. I'm going to speak just about 30 minutes. I'm going to give you a truth that is so simple that you stumbled over it in the Bible, most of you, for these many years. I want to speak this morning on the subject, Satan hath desired to have you. This statement was made to the Apostle Peter. It means what you don't think it means, or many of you don't know it means, and I want to give you a truth this morning, and I want you to follow me carefully. Satan, everybody still, look right there. Hey, no talking over here, young people. Everybody look right this way. No talking. Everybody, you folks looking over there, look this way too. Hey, everybody listen. This is not important, let's all go home, but it is important, let's all listen carefully to what's said. Satan hath desired to have you. These words were spoken by our Lord to the Apostle Peter. Let me paraphrase it. Now, what I'm giving you is not Bible. It's as much Bible as NIV, but it's not Bible. I'm going to paraphrase it for you preachers that are not quite as able to understand the Bible as others are. Satan desperately wants you. Let me paraphrase again. Satan lusteth, or has a strong, intense desire to have you. Or Satan pleads for you. Or Satan will do everything he can to get you. Now, listen carefully. The devil's after you. He's after you. He's after every preacher in this room, every deacon,
every Sunday school teacher, every college student, every bus worker, every full-time worker, the devil is after you. Now, the usual interpretation of this verse, of this statement, Satan hath desired to have you, is that the Lord is talking to Peter, saying, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. Now, let me explain that this means far more than that. He said, later on, he said, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, don't miss this. When Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, that word you is in the plural. Look this way. Put your pens up and look this way. He's saying Satan had desired to have you. That word you is plural. What he's saying is Satan hath desired to have all of those who follow you. Satan hath desired to have yours, would be a good way to put it, because it's in the plural. Satan hath, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you and John and James and Philip and Bartholomew. He's desired to have, plural, all of you apostles. Now then when he said, when thou art converted, the word thou is in the singular, which means when, Peter, you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Now follow me carefully. He said to Peter, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you and those who follow you. Now when you get converted, that doesn't mean to get saved. That means when you, out yonder, get right with God again. He said, strengthen the brethren. What he's saying is, go back and get those that went away with you and strengthen the brethren that went away when Satan got you. Now, all of us know that Satan did get Peter. He cursed and swore, denied the Lord, denied the faith, and denied the Savior, and he did stumble, and Satan got him. Now then, Peter was the leader of the disciples or the apostles. Satan knew, hear me carefully, don't miss it, Satan knew if he could get Peter, he could get the other apostles too. So Jesus said, Satan hath desired to have you, not just you, Peter, but yours, those who follow you. Now then, Peter, being the head of the disciples, it was obvious that Satan knew if he could get Peter, he could get the others. And he did get them all. In John chapter 21 and verse 3, read a while ago, Peter said, I go a-fishing. Now, what do you mean? He meant, I'm going to go back to my old life. I was in the fishing business before. I'm sick and tired of this preaching business, and I'm discouraged. I'm going back to the old life. Now, that same verse in John 21:3, at least six of the apostles said, we also go with thee. Are you listening? So, Satan, what he desired, he got. Jesus said, Satan had desired to have yours, or if you Southerners, you all. He's desired to have you all, which is Bible, but he wants all of you, those that follow you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the devil's after you, but the devil gets you, he'll get that little group that follow you also. So when Peter came back, he said, I go fishing, and the apostle said, we also go with thee. Now follow me carefully. Let me have two apostles here. You guys be my apostles here. And so, I'm the apostle Peter, and so I am going fishing. Okay, and they go with me. Now then, I come back to the Lord. Stay here. I come back to the Lord, and I'm converted. I'm right with God, but not those fellows back there. So Jesus said, don't forget those that you took away. When he said, Satan had desired to have all of you, but he said, you came back. A man walked right down that aisle right there one day and motioned for me, and I went down there. I hardly ever do that, but I went down there. And he said, am I too late? Am I too late? Am I too late? And I said, what do you mean? He said, 10 years ago, I left this church. I got mad. I left this church. He said, I realize now after 10 years, I made the mistake of my life. But he said, my children, they're not turning out right. He said, am I too late to get my children right? Am I too late? Now, that man came back, but not a one of his children ever came back. You see, Satan had desired to have him and his. But when he came back, only he came back. So Jesus said, when you come back, don't forget to go back and get those that went with you. So Peter comes back over here and brings the apostles up with him, and they turn the world upside down for God. Thank you very much. Now then, what does that mean? That means that Satan comes to a father and desires to have you. You meaning what? Meaning your family. Satan comes to a coach and he desires to have you in the plural, meaning what? Your team. Satan comes to a teacher and he desires to have you, meaning what? Your class. The tragic thing about these theologians around America sitting in the desk of some of our so-called fundamental colleges and saying that book I have is not the Word of God. The tragic thing is not the fact that the devil's got them. He's attracted the fact that the devil gets the students that believe those guys know what they're talking about when a bunch of ignoramuses trying to defy the blessed Word of God. I'm saying Satan comes to the teacher and he desires to have you, meaning your class. He comes to the pastor and says he desires to have you, meaning your members. He comes to the popular student and desires to have you, meaning your followers and admirers. He comes to the youth leader and desires to have you, meaning the young people. He comes to the professor and desires to have you, meaning the students. He comes to the deacon and desires to have you, meaning the lay members. He comes to the Sunday school teacher and desires to have you, meaning your Sunday school pupils. He comes to the star athlete and desires to have you, meaning the other team members and those who admire you in the school. He comes to the husband and desires to have you, meaning the wife also and the children. He comes to the school administrator and desires to have you, meaning the faculty and the student body. He comes to the bus captain and desires to have you, meaning your bus riders. Now you listen to me. You say, well, it's my business if I go and do what I want to do. No, it is not your business. There's a little group of people that look up to you. Peter could have said, if I want to go into sin, if I want to go back and go fishing, that's up to me. No, Peter, there's six men at least that are going to go fishing with you. Now you listen to me. You say, well, I can go out in the world and take it, but those that go out in the world with you, maybe they cannot take it. Satan had desired to have bus workers and children. He captured a college staff member at Howells Henderson College. He captured him. And the fellow said to me, he said, preacher, he said, if I want to go into sin, that's my business. No, it's not your business. It's everybody who follows you. It's their business also. Satan captured this college administrator. I have talked to 17 adults around America who quit college because of that man. 17 adults. Satan had desired to have you, college staff member. Yeah, he had desired to have those that follow you. And count it. If those 17 bus workers quit Howells Henderson College because of one leader who was captured by Satan, I wonder how many thousands of little children and bus people will die and go to hell. I said die and go to hell. And the blood will be on the hands of that college staff member. Satan desired to have some preacher students. So years ago he captured a college student, a college teacher at Howells Henderson College. And that college teacher went fishing and took 40 of our students with him, not in a rebellious manner. The devil's smarter than that. He did not rebel against the school. He just very quietly and sweetly took 40 students to go away, and those 40 students went with him. 39 of those, listen to me now, I'm preaching to you, 39 of those students never came back. I don't mean never came back to Howells Henderson College, never came back to full-time service. Satan had desired to have you, teacher. Now you listen to me. You teachers in the classroom, you ought to live a life that's exemplary. Because they're looking at you, those people in your class. I'm talking about you professors that think you're somebody. You're no better than the poorest little bus kid that rode the bus today. I'm trying to say to you, with your so-called ultra-dispensationalism and your hyper-Calvinism and all the rest of the doctrines that are a heresy, I'm saying the devil wants you to lead you away from the simplicity of the gospel of salvation by grace through faith. He desires to have the preacher boys. 25 years ago, a Hammond Baptist High School graduate went to a secular university. And I want to say it again. I say it often. I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm preaching to everybody. So you're part of everybody. I'm preaching to you. I would never, under any condition, recommend anybody to go to a state university. You thought, I went to one. I don't care where you went. I'm not mad at you, but I'm going to preach what I believe is true. My Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And you sit in those classrooms, you're sitting in the counsel of the ungodly, and that scripture, Bible says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. 25 years ago, a Hammond Baptist High School graduate went to a secular university. And of course, he was popular. There are other students that went after him the next year. And the next year. Because they looked up to him. Listen to me carefully. Several students went with him in the next few years. He said, I can take it. In the first place, not many can. But he did. And came back. But not one of those students that went because he did have amounted to a thing. Now you listen to me. Your influence is as important as you, and there are other people in this wagon beside you. Jesus said, Satan had desired to have yours, Peter, those who look to you, those who admire you, those who follow you. You'll not go by yourself. You'll take somebody else with you. A coach became disloyal in one of our schools years ago. He left school. Several athletes followed, never came back. Satan hath desired to have yours. Satan hath desired to have yours. He hath desired to have your students at Howells Anderson College. Satan hath desired to have you, meaning your students at Hammond Baptist High School. Satan hath desired to have you, meaning your class members at Hammond at Howells Anderson College and the sailors that look to you and the workers. Satan hath desired to have you, meaning all those dead people out there at the cemetery. Satan wants you. And he did not say to Peter, he wants just you, he wants yours. Many of you know the story. It's an old story. About 48 years ago, I preached a revival in a little city in Louisiana called Trees City, Louisiana. Not far from the city of Vivian, which is a pretty good sized little city. Of Vivian, Louisiana. I preached this little country church outside Trees City, Louisiana. We had an old-fashioned service one night, and a young lady there in the church brought her boyfriend. Her boyfriend was the star quarterback on the state champion, Louisiana state champion football team in Vivian, Louisiana. The next night, the night that she brought him, it was old-fashioned night, and that star all-state quarterback got saved that night in the service. To my total surprise, the next night, he brought the entire 30-some-odd, and all Louisiana people are some-odd, and some were immigrants from other states. But you laugh when I think it's funny, not when you think it's funny. And so, he brought over 30 football players, a little country church. He had a third of the crowd at revival that night. And all 30 of those football players walked the aisle and got saved. Jesus hath desired to have you. That's why he says in Acts 16:30-31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Satan hath desired to have you, meaning your family. Jesus desires to have you, meaning your family. Jesus desires to have you, meaning your team. Jesus desires to have you, meaning your school. Jesus desires to have you, meaning your class. Jesus desires to have you, meaning those that look up to you. Now you listen to me. You're not just sitting there this morning making a decision about what you do. You're making a decision about what all of those do who look up to you, who will follow you. They all got saved. After the service, they went out to eat. Of course, being the state championship football team with this fancy restaurant, everybody watching them. There's a little southern towns, boy, the football team is the most popular thing in town. I mean, literally. He's as popular as the priest is in Hammond. And so these guys went to this fancy restaurant. They ordered. Food came. They started to eat. This quarterback said, hold it, fellas, we're Christians now. Christians say grace before they eat. Football players put down their silverware, bowed their heads. He said, wait a minute, fellas. Christians don't pray sitting down. They kneel when they pray. So the entire football team of state championship team of the state of Louisiana, from Vivian, Louisiana, got on their knees and stopped the whole restaurant activity and prayed and thanked God. Why? Because one quarterback got right with God. When that quarterback sat there in the service that night and he was dealing, should I be saved? Should I be saved? He wasn't saying, should I be saved? He was saying, should mine be saved? Should that team be saved? Because when he got saved, that team followed him.
Equally old story. Half of you have heard it. You're going to hear it again. When I get to 10 minutes to 12 and I'm out of soap, I pull out some old story and tell it. About 40 years ago, I was preaching a revival in a little town called Bloody Bucket, Texas. That was not the name of the city, but that's what they called it, Bloody Bucket, Texas. Little town of about 200 people. In that county, there are more bootleggers than any county in Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, when you lead Texas in bootlegging, you lead the world in bootlegging. Because Texas is a bootlegging state in America. That's my home state. I'm proud of it. It's the only thing we're first in. I preached on Monday night. We didn't have anything. It was dull and dead. Tuesday night, same thing. Wednesday night, same thing. Thursday night, same thing. I got preaching rough, and the bootleggers started threatening me. They'd drive outside by the preacher's home where I was staying during the night and shoot their guns up in the air and threaten me and threaten to kill me. Everybody come on out here, we'll kill you. Nothing is happening. Bootleggers ran the whole county. I woke up on Friday morning, and I said, Pastor, I think it's pretty sure it's Friday. It was either Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday. And I think it's Friday. I said, Pastor, something's got to happen. We haven't had a convert yet. I said, Pastor, bootleggers run this town. I said, who is the meanest man, meanest bootlegger? Who's the head bootlegger? Who's the meanest one in the whole county? He said, Vane Ward. Vane Ward's the meanest man in this county. And all the bootleggers look up to Vane Ward. He's the head bootlegger. They all answer to him. They're scared of him. I said, let's go see him. He said, not me. I said, what's he going to say when I say, you said he was the meanest man in the county? He said, let's go. We drove up. I said, where's he live? He showed me a little house, one-room shack to the left of a little two-rut road. It was early morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning. Vane Ward was out in the front yard cooking breakfast on a piece of metal. And I said, Pastor, I'm going to go up and witness to him. He said, you can go by yourself. I said, what's he going to say when I said you're the meanest man in town? He said, let's go. I went up. Vane Ward, big, about 6'4", big tall fellow. Looked about like Dick Kennedy, about 200 pounds less. But anyway, big, big, tall fellow. Stately, tall, Abraham Lincoln-like. I walked up and I said, are you Vane Ward? Yeah, I'm Vane Ward. I'm Jack Hiles. I'm preaching a revival at First Baptist Church up here. I understand you're the meanest man in this whole county. Pastor ducked behind the microphone and hid. And I said, that isn't all. I said, every bootlegger in this county looks to you. When you stand before God, you'll have your own blood on your hands. This is the way preachers used to be before they got scared. You'll have your own blood on your hands. But I said, you'll have the blood of every bootlegger in this town, and every widow in this county, and every orphan in this county, everybody that's maimed because of a car wreck involving alcohol in this county. And I said, you'll face God and give account of God, and the blood of the whole county will drip off your hands. I said, now, you know you're a sinner. Yes. You know you're lost and going to hell? Yes. You know that Jesus died for you? Yes. Are you willing to trust Him as your Savior? Yes. Vane Ward, the head bootlegger of all that county, got on his knees out there. Bacon was burning. Coffee was overflowing the little pot there. And he got saved. And then he said, I'll come to church tonight. I don't have a suit, but I'll go buy one this afternoon. Vane Ward went down to the local men's clothing store. Back when men wore suits and ties. And ladies wore dresses.
He went down. He was a hermit, by the way. He went down to the local clothing store and bought him a suit, a white shirt and a tie, and a pair of shoes and nice socks. And word spread around the whole county. Vane Ward got religion. Vane Ward got religion. Vane Ward got religion. Vane. That's what he used to talk about it. Vane Ward got religion. And he's going to join the church tonight. He's going to join the church. That's join. That's up north. It's join. Down south, they pronounce it like it ought to be pronounced. Going to join the church tonight. I came to church that night. The little building was filled. Seated over 200 people. We hadn't had 75 there. It was packed and jammed. Folks were outside. It was winter, summer night. Folks outside looking in the windows. People there. Whole county almost was there. Vane Ward got religion. Going to join the church tonight. Vane Ward was sitting right back there about five rows back next to the aisle. Had on a suit and tie. Bootleggers sitting in their cars out there honking. Wanted to see Vane Ward. It's true. Vane Ward got religion. I preached a very subtle sermon that night. Will there be any drunkards in heaven? I healed the dead, cast out the sick, and raised the devil for about an hour. Invitation time came. Vane Ward stood up, did what all southern gentlemen do, pulled his coat down like that, pulled his lapel like that, stepped out the aisle, walked down the aisle, and professed faith in Christ as his Savior. When he did that, I think it was 9 or 11, one or the other, bootleggers got out of the cars out there and walked in the building, walked down the aisle, and got saved. An old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival broke out when Vane Ward got on his knees that morning beside the coffee pot and the burning bacon. It wasn't just Vane Ward. It was every bootlegger in the county. I'm trying to say there's more than you involved in this thing. You won't backslide alone. Somebody goes with thee. You won't gossip alone. Somebody goes with thee. You won't become disgruntled alone. Somebody goes with thee. You won't go to a heathen university alone. Somebody goes with thee. You won't leave Hammond Baptist schools and go to a public school. Now, I wouldn't do that. No way I'd recommend a public school to anybody. You public school students, I love you very much, and I'm for you 100%. I wish all had went to Hammond Baptist. If you don't, we still love you, but I would not recommend any place that doesn't believe where that book isn't welcome, I'm not welcome. Where prayer, where my God is not welcome, I'm not welcome. Nobody will take their kids out of Hammond Baptist schools and put them in the public school alone. Nobody, by the way, will go to hell alone. Look at me and I'm through. Listen carefully. There are people in this room right now who are not saved. If you died right now, you'd burn in hell within 10 seconds. On your way to hell. You say, I don't believe in hell. That won't change it one iota. You'll still be there. You know you're a sinner. You know you're lost. You know you're on your way to hell. You know that Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth and was in the form of a man, God incarnate for 33 years. You know that. You know that Jesus Christ took your sins and put them against his record and went to Calvary as your substitute and paid the penalty for you. You know that. You know he rose again after 72 hours for your justification. You know that. Now, wait a minute. They're right there in that pew today deciding where you will go when you die. No, you're not. You're deciding where yours will go when they die. I promise you that one or two of you truck drivers get saved this morning, others will follow you. Satan had desired to have yours. You sailors too, one or two of you sailors get saved this morning, I promise you, others will follow you. There's more to it than just you. There are those that look to you, those who admire you, those who follow you, those who are led by you. Jesus said, Peter, Satan had desired to have you, plural. Peter said, I go fishing. His, plural, said, we also go with thee. If you go to hell, somebody will say, we also go with thee. If you trust the Savior, somebody will say, we also go with thee. This morning, if you walk this aisle and get saved, it'll probably mean your granddaughter will get saved, your grandchild will get saved. It'll probably mean that your children will get saved someday. I promise you, If you go to hell, you'll take somebody with you. And if you go to heaven, you'll take somebody with you. Satan hath desired to have you. He wasn't saying to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, Peter. Plural. Satan hath desired to have you and all those that follow you. And sure enough, Satan got him.
I go fishing.
And they said, we also go with thee. Peter came back alone. Jesus said, don't forget those you took out yonder. Go back and get them. Now the sad thing is, some won't come back. That father who said, am I too late? He came back. He took his children with him when he went away. He didn't bring them back when he came. This morning you're here and you're not saved. Jesus came right now, you'd be left, lost forever. If you died today, you'd go to hell, no hope for heaven. And you sit here right now and say, what should I do? No, no. What should we do? Satan hath desired to have you and yours. Where are you going to take your crowd? Where are you going to take your crowd? To a public school or a Christian school? Where are you going to take your crowd? To a public secular university or to an old-fashioned Bible-believing college like Howells Answer? Where are you going to take your crowd? Where are you going to take them? To heaven or to hell? You say, it's my business what I do. It's not so. It's the business of everyone whom you influence what you do. Satan hath desired to have you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Would you bow your heads, please?